Blog Talk Radio.
Even never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me, and I can say. Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me, and I can say I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through, I can see that you are the one I held on to, and I never,
never would have made it.
Oh, I never could have made it.
Thank you.
Oh, I wish I had some help here. I wish I had just two or three people that would just declare it. Never would have made it. Never could have made it. I just love to encourage myself. Sometimes I just look in the mirror and say, I'm strong, I'm wise, I am better, so much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. But I never would have made it. I never could have made it without you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, the God Almighty never would have made it.
Never could have made it.
One more time. All I need is just one more time. Everybody say with me.
Never would have
made
it.
Oh, oh, oh.
Never could have made it without you.
Hallelujah. See, that's real to me. It may not be real to everybody, but the reality is, I know this to be true. I would have never made it without the Lord. And I'm just happy to tell you all that. That's why I'm thankful today. That's why I'm so thankful. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We are truly happy to have each and every one of you. We're going to ask Pastor Bill if she'll give us a word of prayer. We'll get into today's lesson. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for that selection. Never would have made it. Amen. Without the Lord. But that's where our help and our strength comes from. The scripture I'd like to share is coming from Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 3. If we then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We're thanking you, Father God, for all these many blessings. We're thanking you, Father God, for the broadcast. Thanking you, Father God, for the listeners and all those who participate. We're thanking you, Father God, for our pastor. We're praying, Father God, for each and every one, Father God. May we open up our hearts and our mind to your word, Father God. Let us know whose we are, Father God, as we go into 2021, Father God. Let us put our trust in you, Father God. Help us, Father God, to look to you for all of our help, knowing that you are our help, and we can do nothing without you, Father God. Help us to seek a closer walk with you, Father God, and live a life pleasing unto you. Open up our hearts and our mind to the word. We're praying for those that have asked us to keep them in prayer, those that are sick and shut in, Father God. We know you're a healer. Those that are going through, Father God, we know you're a work maker out of no way. And those who are bereaved, Father God, give them strength, Father God, to put their trust in you and to know, as your word says, you will keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And we're so thankful to know that your word is faithful and that you are faithful and you want us to worship you in spirit and in truth. So, Lord, help us to lean and depend on you and put our trust in you. In the name of Christ Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. No, we talked about before the law, and now we're going to be talking about after the law. Now, you know the law is good, but after mm-hmm. the law is great. It's great to be spiritual. Mm-hmm. And that's the area we are directing this. And I just pray you all keeping notes and following along, because we've talked about the law and that it was good and all that and why we have it and so forth and so on. But now we need to talk about after the law, because we're living now after the law, because that's what we're living under, grace and truth, which we learned about a couple weeks ago. But mainly, it's God's will is that we be led by the Spirit. It's God's will.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to share this week, is that that's God's will, that we be that we live after the Spirit. So let's start off with Romans 5:20. Romans 5:20. We got some foundational scriptures, and then we'll get into them either today or tomorrow. Evangelist Sharon, would you be so kind to read Romans 5:7, please?
Romans 5:20. Yes, good afternoon, Pastor. Thank you for that selection. I, too, never would have been able to make it. And I thank Pastor Bell for her beautiful prayer. Praise the Lord. In the King James, it reads as follows. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen.
Amen. And from the Message Bible, all that passing laws against sin did was produce more lawbreakers. But sin didn't and doesn't have a chance in competition with the aggressive forgiveness we call grace. Amen.
Amen.
See, the law came from God with details, instructions, and specific penalties. The law gave the sin the nature of transgression, which they had never had before God gave the law. See, where there's no law, there's no transgression. So God had to put law there. So the law did not produce sin. Please understand that, brothers, because I had somebody, I won't go there. The law do not produce sin, okay? Nor was the law itself sin. It was given to show the exceedingly sinfulness of sin.
Mm-hmm.
The law shows true nature of sin. And listen, brothers and sisters, the law entered the realm of the human. So when I read Romans 5:20, that's where I get. So we're going to stop it right there, and we're going to go to Romans 7:5. Romans 7:5.
Okay. In the King James, Romans 7:5 reads as follows. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Amen.
Amen. In the Message Bible, for as long as we live that old way of life, doing whatever we felt we could get away with, sin was calling most of the shots as the old law code hemmed us in. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Did we do this, Pastor? I'll read a little further. And this made us all the more rebellious. In the end, all we had to show for it was miscarriages and stillbirths. But now that we're no longer shackled to the domineering made of sin and out from under all those oppressive regulations and fine print, we're free to live a new life in the freedom of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I got knocked off. I don't know what happened. But thank you, Pastor. I'm sure you carried on. I appreciate it. That was Romans 7 and 5, right?
Mm-hmm. I read 5 through 5 and 6, Pastor.
Okay, good. And see, at one time we was influenced by the law because God had given Moses these laws and we was influenced by them. But the very thing that's supposed to govern us is sin took an occasion to cause that to be our master. And God never wanted that. God always wanted the law to be like a reference point. We were talking yesterday about a plumb line. That's where you're working from. That's what you're working to. That's a working element. You know, that's what you do. But God always wanted us to live by faith, brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
So now, after the law, it's grace. See? Mm. So, and that's what God always wanted. He always wanted that. So if you notice, Paul mentioned, he says that the law put sin in motion. That's what the law did. It put sin in motion. So before the law, the same sins were committed, but there were no, undisputed by the law. And the reason for that, because to be punished or to be revealed of that law, it had to be a law. So, and there I go again, where there's no law, there's no transgression. So a good example is parents can forbid a child to go into the attic, for instance. I'm just saying. Say if a parent says, don't go up in that attic. But until they actually go, they hadn't committed their child a sin. So a child could be interested in it. They could be, God didn't tell them not to admire the tree. He said, don't eat it. Never told them to be inquisitive about it. Told them, don't eat of it. See?
Mm-hmm.
So, not to become partakers of it. Not to desire it. But the moment the desire set in, then it becomes, it's in motion. It's in motion. See, once you allow the desire to come into you, then you'll put things in motion. That's the time you have to bind up a lot of stuff. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I'm going to speak to you right now from the bottom of my heart. A lot of times, Satan won't tell you. He just wants you to put stuff in motion. And you start getting it in motion, that's when you have to bind it up. You have to bind some of that stuff.
Yeah.
You're like a child.
Yeah.
Once a child know that it's free to go into the attic, for instance, but it can make that decision. That parent have actually allowed that child to put those acts in motion if you understand what I'm saying. But now you tell them, don't go up there. Now I'm leaving, but it's up to you. They already know it's wrong. Because, see, that's where temptation comes at. Let me just be real clear. So when I read 5, it says, when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our memories to bring forth fruit unto death.
Yes.
Maybe I need to break that down a little bit because I really want you to understand that. See, you was cool. You was all right. But once the motion started, which were by the law, I want you to see this now, we were living under the influence and control by the nature. But once the law, and I really want you to see this, the law did not work in our memory to bring forth fruit unto death. And then the 6th verse says, but now we are delivered from the law, that being there, wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. See, we're to be led by the spirit. That's what this subject going to be about, being led by the spirit.
Yeah.
So let's go to Galatians 5:18, because I want you to see this. This is a spiritual thing.
Galatians 5:18 reads as follows in the King James. But if ye be led, ye are not under the law. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And from the Message Bible, why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsion of a law-dominated existence? Amen.
Yeah. See, when you allow your flesh to influence your memories, when you allow your flesh to influence your mind, in other words, you allow your thought process to determine what you're doing today. You just put sin in motion.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know why God got me going this way, but we're not to be influenced by our emotion.
Amen.
We're not to be informed by what we think, what we feel, what we see. That's the world's way of doing things. Can I say that again? See, the law, and I know I'm going to get somebody to disagree, but it's okay. Because, see, this is everything I'm going to teach this week. It's going to be based on scriptures, but I want to make sure you understand it. The law is for sinners.
All right.
Woo! Not for saved folk. Not for saints. Not for believers.
Amen.
And Paul made it real clear to Timothy, and we'll read that. We may not discuss it today, but we'll discuss it tomorrow. Because in 1 Timothy 1, and let's see, 5, we'll read through the 8th verse. That's 1 Timothy 1, 5 through 8.
Okay. In King James, it reads as follows. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of pure heart and of good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Amen.
Well, we read that line too. Read 9, too. I'm sorry.
But praise God. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. Amen. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Wow.
And then the Message Bible. Yes. That's deep. Mm-hmm. The whole point of what we're urging is simply love. Love uncontaminated by self-interest and counterfeit faith, a life open to God. Those who fail to keep to this point soon wander off into gossip. They set themselves up as experts on religious issues, but haven't the remotest idea of what they're holding forth with such imposing elegance. It's true that moral guidance and counsel need to be given, but the way you say it, to whom you say it, are as important as what you say. It's obvious, isn't it, that the law code isn't primarily for people who live responsibly, but for the irresponsible who defieth all authority. Amen.
See, that brings it out. See,
yeah.
See, the law is sinners, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
All those laws, that's what they for. Not for saved people. But it's good now. Don't get it twisted. See, that's why this subject is so unique. Because it's good for sinners. But it's not all that good for us. Even those that profess to know everything.
Mm-hmm.
You got these great, and they put doctorate degree behind their name, and they're great teachers of, shouldn't do this, and you should do that, and you should worship God on the Sabbath, and Saturday is the Sabbath. They don't have any clue of what they're teaching people to do. We're to teach people to worship God in spirit and in truth, because that's what we're being led by, is the Spirit of God now. Not by a bunch of laws. God did that for those people because that's why you see a lot of sinners go to church. They have to come. They need that. But you and I and some others here, we're led by the Spirit of God. We're responsible to follow the Holy Spirit.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. We understand it. Well, wait a minute now. I'm going to say this jokingly, but I want you all to catch it. I won't do that because maybe some other people may miss what I'm saying. So let me say this. Brother and sister, you're a Christian. You've been born again. At least you say you do. Nobody has to teach you because you're being led. Your passion, your heart, your conscience, Your spirit is being led by the Holy Spirit. So you ain't got to worry about you. Now, I can't control other people's conscience. I can't do
Amen.
That.
Mm-hmm.
They can do it. But see, I can come in here in my house, and it can be 50 naked people in the other room. It won't even faze me because that ain't where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I mean, I can go on the place and people be talking about what they finna do to get money. That don't even faze me.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't bother me. People be talking about smoking and they finna get some drugs. See, that stuff doesn't faze me. I'm being led by the Spirit. I hope I'm making sense to somebody. I mean, I don't think about stealing. I don't think about stealing. I don't think about working outside of the realms of God. That's not what's in my mind. That's not what's in my spirit.
In your heart, yes.
that was in my heart. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not what's in there. So what's in your heart should be what's in Galatians 5:23. Everyone should be up in there. You know, I know time about to run out, but see, we ought to have Galatians 5:22-23, all those scriptures there. That's virtue, man. That's what is in our hearts. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what. I don't know who this is for, but I'm finna say this. If you love God, be faithful.
Amen.
Be faithful.
Okay.
You know, some people, they're only faithful to a team as long as they're winning. How about when they're losing?
Amen.
Say that.
Are you just faithful as long as you're winning? How about when you're losing? Are you faithful? Are you going to hang in there then?
Amen, amen.
Ain't about God. A lot of times things ain't going our way, but because we're being led by the Spirit, remain faithful. That's part of what's in you. Self-control is part of what's in you. I mean, I like that. When you're led by the Spirit, so these are some of the things that we're going to deal with this week. Let me tell you what. Sexual immorality, Galatians 5:19. Man, that's the fourth thing away from my mind. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't
mm-hmm.
allow that influence of the flesh to take me there.
Amen.
Can I go there? Absolutely. Do I choose to go there? No. See, that's the difference. Before,
mm-hmm.
when I was under the law, somebody had to lead me past that stuff. But now I operate under faith. I see it and I don't see it. It's there and it's not there. I keep it moving. You see, it's a big difference. So are you going to be influenced by the flesh, which is the law, or are you going to be influenced by the grace and truth, which is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit?
Mm.
So that's what we're talking about this week, being led. That's God's will, that you be led, that I be led.